This morning, before I get to reading the scripture, I want to ask you something about, and you can answer in just a minute, but I'm going to ask you, what would you think and what would you do? So if you walk through the doors of the church this morning, and over here, we had a booth that where you could buy all the lottery tickets you wanted at a discount price. They're over here on this side of the church. And over here, perhaps there are three different booths of all the candidates for election in our county this year. And they're all over here saying, vote for me, and doing this. And back here, we got somebody from maybe the livestock barn that is selling cattle and goats and sheep and chickens and turkeys and everything else. And they're raking in the money back there. And then maybe over here, you can start a payment plan to where you can take a Disney cruise with your family and do all that. And maybe back here we've got one of those as seen on TV booths to where you can buy something for $9.95 plus separate shipping and handling charges, but we can sign you up today. And then maybe over here we got some kind of gym membership or something offering a discount of $1 a month plus the $700 service fee. So we've got all of these things in the church. So what are you going to think when you walk in here and when you see all of that? What are you going to do? Cecil, do you have an answer? I thought you raised your hand. I'm sorry. You got to be careful. This is like an auction house. If I see a finger.
I would sit back and I would take it out on the door.
You take it in? You're going out the door?
You're going back out
the door. What about you?
I think I was in the wrong place.
Think you're in the wrong place. So we got three great answers. Take it all in and figure out what's happened. Get out of here or wonder if we got the wrong house or the wrong door and what happened. Or maybe I didn't get the letter that the church was being used for something else today. Do you think that would happen?
No.
No? But it's happened. It happened to Jesus. And it happened to Jesus, and we read about it in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. So that's what I want to read to you this morning. John chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle. In the temple now, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle, but not the people. Notice that. He also poured out the coins of the money changers. He overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered then that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign... So they're asking for proof. What sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what I just described as a modern day occurrence has already happened with our biblical ancestors when Jesus walked this earth. He went into the temple, not expecting to find what he found. And people had lost all understanding about what was right and what was wrong. And he found that they had made a mess of things. Now, is there anybody in here that would believe that we would ever walk into a church and find people selling lottery tickets and selling cattle and selling all these things? In our wildest imagination, would we ever think that? And I would dare say that we would not. But it has happened. And it happened to none other than Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, the Son of God, our salvation. And we see a lot of places of how Jesus in the scripture reveals his emotion a little. We see it when he cried at the tomb of Lazarus. And I mean, there are just different places where he reflected some of the human emotion. And I won't say that he reflected anger here, but I'm going to say he had no doubt that he was disappointed and that he was not pleased. When he walks in and he sees what he's seeing, and then all of a sudden, what have you done? You made a mess of things. He starts turning over tables. It's in the scripture. He's turning over tables. He takes the money. He pours the money out on the floor. And he's telling people to get these critters out of here, the sheep and the cattle, and to take these doves out of here. Quit making a mockery of my father's house. Why have you turned my father's house into a marketplace? There's no doubt that he's not happy. And I definitely would not want to be that person in that temple that day when the Son of God, my salvation, walks in and says, "You've messed up." And that's exactly what he's doing. He's saying, "You don't understand. You don't understand that this is not what the temple is about. This is not what the church is about. This is not what being a follower of God, of the gospel of Christ, this is not what it's being, what it's about." And you think about the word temple. The word temple is the church. The word temple is your body. The word temple is what God has created, the world around us. And I think that we can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we've made a mess of things. That we've made a mess of things all the way around. Now, the point that I want to make today, I'm not so much preaching to you, but I am preaching that we have a message to take out into this community. We have been so far in several weeks into our Lenten journey. We started talking about the mortality, our own mortality. We talked about being in the wilderness, which is this world. We talked about the interventions that we need. God's interventions, about already having those interventions. And last week we identified them and that was sufficient. And we needed to start applying those instead of trying to do things our own way. And then this week, on this rehabilitation journey in Lent, we talk about having a program. So the program that we have to offer as disciples of Christ, those called into the ministry of preaching and living and sharing the gospel, we have a program to offer. And that is a changed life through the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That changed life is that program that we have to offer. But when we look at the scripture this morning, there are just so many similarities that we see in our world today. Our biblical ancestors made a mess of things. They had a history of making a mess of things. And we're no different today. We can mess something up in a heartbeat. We think about Adam and Eve and how great they had it. The original sin, the original fall. They had this beautiful place to live and then somebody made a mistake. And we know what happened next. We talked about the flood a few weeks ago. And then how there were only a few that were spared the wrath of the flood because of what the world had become. And then the world got to be so bad that things got to be so horrible that the world needed a Savior in Jesus Christ. And now God has sent a Son, Jesus, into the world as a temple to be destroyed and to be rebuilt in 3 days through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We have a hope for forgiveness and we have a hope for an everlasting life. But as we look into the world today, I think that we can say we've made a mess of things. The people in the temple did. There was no doubt. I mean, they were selling animals. They were taking money. They were making a profit for themselves. Everything they were not supposed to do in the church, everything they were not supposed to do in the temple, they were doing it. It would be even worse than what... So I mean, if you take our book of discipline as a Methodist church, or you take our church policies, and we look at what they are, disobeying all of those, well, the problem here is our book of discipline, our church policies, those are of man. What these people were doing is they were disobeying God. They were disobeying God. They were using the temple for a marketplace, and in doing so, they were defaming God's house, God's place. And Jesus expected something much different. And you'll notice that Jesus didn't send the people out. He run the animals out. He told them to take the animals out, turned over the tables, poured out their money, but then what he was trying to do is to help them understand what that true purpose of the temple was. He wanted the true purpose of the temple to be revealed. He wanted the distractions of the world taken away so that people could see that true purpose of the temple. And that sounds pretty similar to what we have experienced. Because last week when we were talking about interventions that come from God, that come from heaven, about trying to do things God's way instead of our own way, we realized that we already had the interventions that we needed. That God already had a plan and a program for us. And that we simply needed to apply those things rather than to concoct our own solutions. We needed to remove those distractions and to take those things away that were not of God, and to quit trying to make things a matter of the church that were not the churches, and quit trying to make things a matter of the community or a matter of government that were not a matter of the government. And to take those distractions away, that we could focus on what was important in serving God, loving our neighbor. We already have those tools that we need, and we need to quit trying to do it ourselves and quit trying to make the church into something that it's not. Our biblical ancestors tried to make the church into something that it's not. Today we have people that try to make the church into something that it is not. God doesn't need our help. He needs our participation. He wants our participation. He calls us into the ministry of discipleship, loving God, loving neighbor, going forth to make disciples, cause transformation of the community. He calls us for that. But He doesn't need our help in coming up with a plan. He simply needs us to be obedient. And we need to listen. He's given us the instructions. He's given us the word. We read it in Psalm 19. How precious are your commandments. They're sweeter than honey. We need to listen. And we need to quit making a mess of things. We need to listen and we need to quit making a mess of things. We need to understand where our own weaknesses are. Now, in my study leading up to this sermon, there was one thing that I had read, an exercise that could be considered that I'm going to offer to you. It was really focused on if I were preaching on the Ten Commandments today, but I'm not. But I am preaching on the general approach to being obedient to God's Word. But you think about the Ten Commandments. We've got Ten Commandments. And then over here in the New Testament, we've got all of the new commands and commissions and the directions that we received. And then in Jesus, so we got the Ten Commandments over here. And then Jesus sums it up in the New Testament that the greatest commandment, if you do this, then basically everything else falls into place. Love God with all of your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor. So what I would ask you to think about this week is consider these 10 and consider loving God, loving neighbors. So that's 12. Consider those and answer this. Which one do you have the greatest challenge with? Which one do you have the greatest challenge with? And pray over that over these next couple weeks in your Lenten journey. Perhaps even write it down on an index card for you to look at. Perhaps write it down on two index cards, one for you to look at and one to give to a trusted friend that can hold you accountable and perhaps have some conversations with you about that. You talk with them about their weakness, their struggle, where they need strength, and you pray for them, and they do the same thing for you. Again, just an example of how we can grow in our faith during this Lenten journey. Because at the end of the day, we have to listen. We simply have to listen to what God has taught us. And we have to quit making a mess of things. Because as we look in the world around us, we know that it's out there. It doesn't take long for us to really get something out of whack. So we can ask ourselves questions this week. Where is it in our lives where we see that humans have made a mess of things? Where is it today that perhaps in our own lives we look around and we say, wow, how did I do this? How did I get so far into this place, into this dark place? How did I get so far into this place of uncertainty or this place where my faith is in question? How did I get so far into this addiction? Or so far into this place where I have hate or where I have anger? How did I get so far into this place where I'm thinking not as of a child of God, but rather I'm thinking as of a child of this world? Those are the things that are happening around us. And that's what I would tell you. You've been called. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when you put on the baptism of the Lord, you were called into a ministry of discipleship. You were called into a place of telling others about the gospel. You were called into a place of offering people a program to help them out of this mess that we've created in this world. And today, there is somebody you know that is just simply scratching their saying, head and saying, I don't know how I've got here. I don't know how I've done it. But they need to hear the hope that only you can offer through Jesus Christ as their salvation. They need to hear the words that Jesus loves you. They need to hear that God loves you no matter what. And not life, not death, not powers, not principalities. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Perhaps we separate ourselves, but God does not separate Himself from you. So I would ask you, what would Jesus say if He were to walk into your church, into your house, into your life today, just like He did in that Jerusalem temple? Are there tables that He's going to be turning over? Are there buckets of money or some worldly possession that He's going to be dumping out? Is there a lesson that He is going to have to teach? And these are the type of things that we typically deal with during our self-examination and our Lenten journey. Where is it that we need to change? Where is it that we need to change? So what do we do now? What do we do with this word that we've received? What do we do with this scripture that we received from the Gospel of John? Well, we know through John that Christ is the Word that was made flesh. And He came to live among us. He took our sin upon Himself. He died a sinner's death. And He gave us that key to salvation. You see, Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the presence of God. The manifestation, the revelation of God into this world as part of that Holy Trinity, that eternal triune of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, our Savior, Jesus Christ, reflects freedom, reflects choice, reflects hope, reflects love in the midst of a broken world. Our Savior gives us that opportunity to turn away from sin, to turn away from the mess that we've created in our past, and to start over in something new, a new life in Jesus Christ. We were made new again in our baptism. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior in our baptism, we then began to fully experience the love of our Heavenly Father. So our challenge today, brothers and sisters, going from here, is to offer a chance for other people to make a change. To offer them this program, this rehabilitation journey that we're on. The program God's given us as interventions, how do we apply that? We apply that by offering others that chance to change. We offer people that chance by living out the gospel. There was a famous person one time that said, and I'll let you figure him out. A famous person said that go forth and preach the gospel, using words only when necessary. To go forth and preach the gospel. Using words only when necessary. Meaning, the way that we live, the way that we serve, the way that we love, the way that we reach are far more important than the words that come out of our mouth. Brothers and sisters, today, maybe you know someone that needs Jesus Christ in their life because they've made a mess of these things. And if so, I pray that these words from the Gospel of John that we've heard today would give you that courage to stand up for the Lord. And to say at the end that there is another way. And that way, that program, that intervention is Jesus Christ. A Savior who loved us so much. We celebrate today with Holy Communion. A Savior who loved us so much that He allowed His blood to be shed and His body to be broken. That we could be forgiven of our sins. And that we could have a new life. A Savior that loved us so much. A God that loved us so much that He sent His Son. And a Savior that loved us so much that He said, yes, I will do this for the forgiveness of sins and for the life of humankind. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.